Vortex, we're not through yet.
7 days a week.
You'll be amazed at what my Vortex helped even 8.5 pounds picked up.
Call us now.
Call now, and I'll also send you my Auric Compact Vacuum absolutely free.
Have your credit card ready.
Hey, hello. Hey, can you hear me? Hey, can you hear me? Hello? Hey.
Welcome to Emerging Tech Mastery, a show that demystifies cutting-edge technology like cryptocurrency, the blockchain, metaverse, NFTs, virtual reality, the maker movement, artificial intelligence, machine learning, cloud, edge, and even fog computing. Strap in as we ride into the fourth industrial revolution. Emerging Tech Mastery provides actionable knowledge, regardless of skill level, from experts in the trenches. We piece together this intel in easy-to-consume media formats, processes, and procedures. See you in the future.
Buddy, Aaron Mungel here with another episode of Emerging Tech Mastery. On this episode, another solo episode, I'm going to be discussing, is crypto dead? 5 reasons why it's not, but it's still hard. So I recently wrote an article by that exact title on another publication I write for called The Latest Crypto. And it's funny because I wrote the article perhaps out of a little bit of frustration of everybody saying, is crypto dead? Is it over? Or it is dead and it is over. So I felt that, first off, this isn't true. But second off, I did want to perhaps explain why people might feel that way, which essentially are some critiques of the industry and just the state of affairs, because I think it's really easy to be excited and happy and want to really be a part of the industry when things are going well, but not so much when things are not going well. And I think we might be in that latter category of things not going so well. Not as much on a tech level, but just more on a geopolitical adoption and just general sentiment around crypto. So that's the context. And let's jump into the reasons. Before I get into that, there's a website called the Bitcoin's Obituary page by 99 Bitcoins, and it has listed Bitcoin as having died 474 times when I last checked, which was last week. And so it's so common for everyone to say Bitcoin is dead, crypto is dead. And again, I am sympathetic and understanding of why people might feel that, but it's certainly not the case. So let's get into the first reason. Reason number one, the price has tanked heavily. The price is the ultimate barometer of sentiment, frankly. And when price is up, prices are high. The tech is the greatest thing this ever planet has seen. It's the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's the future of finance. Everyone's going to be rich. Everyone's going to get Lambos. But when the price goes the other way, all of a sudden, all the critiques come out. How bad it is. How it's not going to work, how things will never come back together. And there is a very interesting switch of sentiment where people seem to lose hope extremely fast. However, it's important to note that if anything, the core technology behind specifically Bitcoin and many other cryptocurrencies has gotten better, if anything. Now, that's not to say that newer projects have to go through their own problems. You know, you have certain blockchains that get locked up or stop working temporarily, and that's no good. And it definitely looks really bad, but by no means is it a deal killer, because basically every tech stack from the internet, TCP/IP, you know, FTP, SMTP for email, there were always problems. And there still are problems that pop up. Granted, you know, there's been a couple decades plus of work on building really quality products around these protocols, and crypto's at the beginning of that. So yeah, there's going to be problems, but the price should not be the barometer of sentiment of if something is good or not. We should be looking at the technology itself and determine, does this stuff work or not? Reason number two, the US government, and specifically the Securities and Exchange Commission, is attacking crypto businesses, on U.S. soil. You have Gary Gensler, an ex-Goldman Sachs investment banker, and he's the current SEC chairman. He's really become a hero and villain to many people, more of a villain to the crypto industry and a hero to the banking industry. But again, because the government is attacking crypto doesn't mean it's bad. If anything, it shows how powerful and disruptive it is that they're finally showing their hand. I mean, they were quiet for a very long time about crypto, and they were not saying or doing anything. So for them to be a bit on the offensive, I think is actually a really positive statement about how powerful cryptocurrency technology is for empowering certain people. And there's this whole discussion of the United States hegemony with fiat currency, namely the US dollar. However, this threatens that. And so that, I think, really bothers them. And they want to maintain their control. And, you know, they have good reason for doing so. Look at any corporation. They look after their interests and shareholder interests. So the United States as a whole is no different. If anything, it's a more amplified version of that reality. So that's where we're at. And again, I think it's more of a positive sign of how powerful the technology is versus a negative. Reason number three, uncertain taxation requirements. Now, although the IRS did put out some guidance around cryptocurrency assets being considered property in 2014, they have not really given a whole lot of detail beyond that. Now, that may not matter to the average user, the retail investor, if you will, but you have bigger investment groups that they really want certainty before they're going to push millions or even billions of dollars towards any asset and asset class, which cryptocurrency is a new category of asset class. So because regulatory clarity has been scarce and frankly often absent altogether from the discussion and public discourse, it's not very attractive to certain big institutional investors because of that. Now, I mean, in majority, there's plenty of them that are super into it and are buying in whatever capacity they are able to, like MicroStrategies and those groups, Raoul Paul, Real Visions, you know, he's super pro crypto. All these people are buying for sure. But I think there is an issue with they don't have perfect certainty as far as the law, and that does hinder things a bit and gum up the system. So I definitely think that's a challenge for greater growth and adoption of this industry. Reason number four, it's hard to build on. Now, despite a decade plus long existence of Bitcoin and many other blockchains, while they aren't quite that old, have many years under their belt, and it's still the early days. You know, this means the technology is still hard, and so is the management of organizations and people around the technology. It's easy to forget that there are people building and having to manage their team and organizations and stakeholders. And now there's this concept of DAOs, decentralized autonomous organizations. Those are basically, how I think of it, is rule by committee. You have a group of people, and the ethos of cryptocurrency is that everyone has a vote. Sounds familiar, right? However, there's been an effort to sort of remove the special interest or whales who own all the tokens kind of control the direction. And so that is another complexity to managing these projects, which is beyond managing the token and the market and the price. So there's a lot going into this. And, you know, in an uncertain regulatory environment and future of adoption, I mean, it's tough for companies to make ends meet and stay afloat, especially when their token of their project is denoted in Bitcoin or cryptocurrency, even in dollars. Maybe that's even worse because they have been known to drop by 75% or more during bear markets. So it's a tough time all around. And this is really easy to miss because most people are not privy to all the work and leadership and management that goes on behind the scenes. So it is important to just keep that in mind. And it's a big challenge for everyone. So consider that anyone who is still in the market building are seriously superheroes to me, because it's so tough. It's so frustrating. And then on top of that, it's technically still pretty challenging and difficult. So building new protocols, right? It's not a walk in the park. It's not a polished, finished product. So that's something really important. All right. Reason number five, a lack of cross-chain interoperability and compatibility. Now, you've heard in a lot of the past shows, I've been talking about the immersive tech industry like XR, VR, AR, virtual reality, augmented reality. And one thing is so interesting about those industries is that there is some interest in having some common compatibilities and formats to work with. You have people that are creating some pretty big files in VR and AR, for example. And when they have to go into several different file formats to, let's say, publish that final experience, that's a real pain and not to be underestimated, because that actually hinders usage and adoption and growth of those protocols. So right now, most crypto projects are basically in walled gardens and even islands. That means they have a separate token and rail for it to exist. So imagine a world where, you know, and we did have every state had their own currency in the United States of America at one time. So maybe that's a better comparison. But the comparison I made in the article was, what if every state had their own roads that did not connect to the other state's roads? So you essentially would have to get off X state's road and go onto another road. And let's say that there's a lot of friction from doing that. Again, better comparison is probably how we used to be, where every state had their own currency. That's also super cumbersome, right? Now, if there was a way to cross over into each other's formats of money or the roads example, that makes things so much easier, but it's not easy. The good news is there are solutions that are being worked on to alleviate this problem, namely the IBC protocol, which is the Inter-Blockchain Communications Protocol. And the goal of that is to create a interconnecting, let's just say, highway system for all these different roads that are basically leading to dead ends within each state, right? So you essentially have to do some extra effort to go on to the next road in the next state or get a different form of currency to do business in the other state, right? As you can imagine, that adds a lot of unnecessary difficulty to a situation that, frankly, technically is very quickly proving that this is possible. Now, this IBC protocol was originally created by Cosmos Blockchain, and it is now also being adopted by the EOS, now being called Antelope.io blockchain. And the whole idea there is to make crossing over between one coin to another seamless. Now, it's still very experimental, but I have seen some very cool functionality demonstrated that is so positive in the long term. So while there is a current siloed fragmentation of protocols in the short run, which is definitely not helping, there is light at the end of the tunnel that seems to be coming, and that is the IBC. So that about does it. The fact of the matter is the industry still has some very big challenges to, quote, make it, but by no means is it dead. And we do empathize with the critiquers and naysayers and skeptics, if you will, but it's so important to separate fact from fiction. And the fact of the matter is this technology is alive, well, and growing in adoption. So, but regardless of that, it does appear to be a very, very difficult, long, rocky road ahead. So that's something that players in the market will have to deal with, and that's pretty much how it is right now. So thank you guys so much for listening. Appreciate the time and energy here, and I will see you in the future.
Electronic pet rock for the 21st century.